live from the landing strip is the 346th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in and joining us here. If you're watching us live, like how my wife is right now, thank you so much. Log into your YouTube or Google account. That way you could chat along with us in the live chat right here. If you are not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio. And there's also something on the Instagram, just like the Houston Wrestling Radio.
Instagram, Pinch, yeah. You porn, Twitter.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. The whole McGillicuddy.
Yeah.
Well,
we would have been live last week to preview or post-show Crown Jewel, but our Astros, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was a little bit more important. Seriously, like, in the last – well, since the last time we've done the show, the only wrestling I've watched has been this past week's AEW. Woo. Part of this past week's SmackDown and part of this past week's Raw. So, like, in 3 weeks, I've only watched, like...
an hour.
Well, that's more than an hour. Remember, Raw is in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm, like, woefully behind on wrestling, and that's mostly because of the baseball playoffs. Mostly.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
It was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Them Nats, man. Nice town, nice people. Rendon, hometown boy.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't gonna hate either.
I don't think the Astros choked either. Like anybody trying to come out and say that they choked, they didn't choke. They just got beat. And it was a good series, 7 games. It was a respectable showing. I mean, they won 3 in a row out in DC.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, sure they lost 4 in a row here at Minute Maid, but. That's fucking history, man. That's never happened in MLB. That's never happened in hockey. That's never happened in basketball.
That's a higher power, man.
That's crazy.
There had to have been something going on when the Astros beat the Dodgers 2 years ago after all the Hurricane Harvey stuff that happened. And there had to have been something out of our control of a higher power for it to be 7 straight road game victories. That's never before. Chances are never again.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know if I agree with it being necessary higher power, but still, man, I can't hate on the Nats, man. Like they had such a really good story. They basically had the same story that we had 2 years ago, but the story might be a little bit better. I mean, shit, man, they went from the worst to the best in the same season. Whereas, you know, the Astros, the Disastros, I remember those years. You know, we were like the worst for 3 seasons, and now we're the best for 3 seasons.
You lose Bryce Harper because of money, and you're thinking that you're already in rebuild mode.
Yeah.
When you still have Strasburg, you still have the rest of the talent that was on there.
Yeah. So, I mean,
so
you know, I really thoroughly enjoyed watching the Rays series, the series against the Yankees, and I still liked watching the series against the Nets. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, and I can't hate, you know, fuck the Yankees, fuck the Dodgers, fuck both colored socks, but like
wrestling,
yeah,
baseball's entertaining, even though the guys that you think are the good guys aren't always going to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone else is due.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm okay with it. They had a good showing. So it was a good series. I look forward to a rematch next year, to be honest. Like, I would root for the Nats and Astros to have another World Series next year. Like, I want to see more of that. And not in, like, a revenge kind of way. Like, this is going to be entertaining as fuck kind of way. You know?
So, especially with McCullough out of rehab?
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to heck your Cole. But, baby. But, I don't know, man. McCullough's coming back.
No.
I don't know, man. It's going to be good. We were talking a little bit about this before we signed on. And again, I'm bringing all this up. Yeah, I see you, Porsche. Houston Baseball Radio. Yeah, I get it. But, like, to be honest, like
you don't like balls, Porsche.
I
know you like them balls.
I think it was more, like, I wanted to watch this more than I wanted to watch wrestling. You know? Like, And now that baseball's over, I'm still like, oh, fuck, I got to catch up on this. I got to catch up on that.
That was hard, man, because was it game 4? Game four of the World Series was on a Wednesday, and I still, like, I had to, and I had, it was on Fox, so I have no cable. I could have watched the game.
Yeah.
I was listening to it on the ESPN radio app, number one, because fuck Joe Buck. Like, I think he damn near orgasmed over this kid Cruz because he turned of age during the World Series wanted a piece of that dick. Mm-hmm. Secondarily, man, these Wednesday night wars, bro. It feels like 97 all over again for me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So I've mentioned it before. I haven't been to Travis's house to watch Monday Night Raw since it started. Like, I'm recording podcasts with him.
You've been to his place on Wednesday nights?
No.
Oh, okay.
I do pop culture stuff with him, or I finished watching Dragon Ball Super, that series. Oh. But Raw? Nah. Wednesdays, man.
That's the shit.
All
right.
Yeah. And then we have a situation with Crown Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
The Fiend won. Strowman lost. People still hate Seth. But then they can't make it home in time to record SmackDown. So we get Friday night NXT.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the whole schmaz situation? Brouhaha. Rumor and innuendo.
Man, I loved it and I didn't love it. I think the I loved it part is obvious. Everybody said the same thing, you know. Oh my god, the NXT people are showing up and they did this and that, and oh, the element of surprise, blah blah blah. Yeah, okay, I get it. But I hated it, or I didn't love it, whatever. I had negative feelings about it because I kind of knew that like the whole reason why we don't really respect Raw and SmackDown and the brand split is because they never kept the brand split there. We had the wild card rule. Even now, Brock's quitting, going to the other, just showing up out of nowhere. You know, like,
I'm hunting Mexicans.
Yeah. Like, man, like, there's no respect there for the boundaries of the
relationship.
Right. Well, I mean,
sometimes you need space.
Of the brands. Boundary of the brands. Like, straight up that. And it's like, while I do want to mark out, oh my God, NXT is showing up. You know, while I want to mark out for that, it's also like, yeah, but I'd be kind of a hypocrite.
Kinda. No, you is one.
Okay, I'd be a hypocrite to mark out for NXT people showing up on Raw and SmackDown when they're the same fucking company. And we bitch about Raw, SmackDown, Superstar showing up on each other's shows. And, like, man, I don't know. I like the other part about it where the flimsy pretext of it is that, we're going to have Survivor Series. We're going to have Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT. Okay, cool. But why? Brand supremacy again? I bitched about it when it was Raw versus SmackDown. You throw NXT in there, okay? But why? Like, does it really matter? Like, and then you have Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT tag team titled.
Oh, here we go.
And they're all NXT dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay, the Revival has had some time, but let's be honest, the Revival was better than NXT.
Triple threat too.
Yeah. So it's like, man,
we know how this bread's getting buttered.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a good match. But the pretext of it, the fucking, like, no, man. Like,
here's pretext for you.
Okay.
Would we be talking this much about Raw or SmackDown this week had it not been for the NXT invasion?
No.
Would you want to talk about Tyson Fury beating fucking Braun Strowman?
No,
talk about The Fiend winning finally over Seth Rollins in a match that was like, can't stop for any reason?
Yes.
Would you want to talk about Natty versus Lacey?
Maybe, yes.
Would you want to talk about Mansoor and Cesaro?
No.
Would you want to talk about the tag team tournament turmoil match for the best tag team in the world?
No.
But what are we doing right now?
Talk about NXT invading SmackDown.
And Raw.
And Raw, right.
In hindsight, we're talking about Raw and SmackDown.
This is true.
So, I got you, bitch! You might not want to admit it, because like you just said, use a hypocrite. Oh, use a hypocrite. But I still love you.
Chris, I know. Right here, too. Yeah. Chris, what do you think about it? Talked a lot about what I thought about it. What do you think about it?
The
you hypocrite and ass bitch.
Yeah, but I'm a good kisser with these strawberries. The positive you just mentioned is obvious.
Whoa, and you put it back in the bowl.
There's nothing else touching it. I got it. Don't be jealous. Positives are obvious. You were not entertained by Ms. Ciampa? Were you not entertained with Cole Bryan?
I was.
Were you not entertained with Sami Zayn getting the ever-loving fuck beat out of his ass by the Limitless Bros?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
You know, the stuff on Raw was okay, too. You know, I couldn't get the jump on them, but the negatives, I think, for me is that the NXT train has to detour. You know,
also,
they're doing such a good job right now. They're announcing their first ever women's War Games match.
Right.
They're laying down the seeds for a badass men's War Games match. They're teasing the possibility of Gargano versus Finn Balor at this NXT TakeOver.
Okay.
You know?
Ciampa is still eyeing Goldie.
Yeah. But he has to take a break to go to war.
Right.
And I respect the fact that after SmackDown, was it SmackDown where Triple H brought the whole roster over?
Yes.
Cole and Ciampa were opposite the ring, and Ciampa's looking at Cole like he's going to rape him when his first second's eyes are closed. So they're still having that continuity. But the fact that they're shoehorning stuff in when right now NXT by itself, its own program, its own bubble, is doing just fine, that you don't necessarily need to shoehorn the brand supremacy that they do every year. It kind of feels ham-fisted, you know?
A little bit, yeah.
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 I was hoping, again, I don't mind that NXT's in this Survivor Series stuff, because if they're treating NXT like a third brand, it's on USA, it's got its own hour. At times, the demographic's higher on NXT than Raw or SmackDown, especially the ratings. You know, especially if you want to compare TakeOver attendances to certain Raws or SmackDowns.
Yeah.
So it's legit. We've seen the tired Raw versus SmackDown people invade brands doing that. Raw and SmackDown could have kept doing that shit. You know, but just like the Dark Horse, NXT, don't give a fuck about that right now, because we got our own fish to fry here. Yeah. I'm not looking at the chicken. I still got the fish here in the wok. I need to focus on this right here.
Okay.
You know, and the fact that they're like, pausing all kinds of shit, and it's like, you know, it's hard. And for everything that I like about it, because I grew up a wrestling fan, I've been a wrestling fan for a long time, to see how far I've traveled for all these fucking shows. You think right now is a good time for me to introduce anybody to the WWE product? Any of the WWE products right now?
It'd be kind of confusing.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Man.
It'd be a confusing time to learn wrestling altogether. Take away WWE, like, because you got so much out there now, you know. And I know that there's going to be some fans that are going to say, you know, hey, this is the best time for wrestling that there's ever been, because look at all the content, look at all the choices. But still, it's, if anything, it makes the learning curve a little bit harder to get into.
A lot harder.
Speaking end of point.
Yeah. Going through our notes, filtering out the shoe we're going to talk to. Speaking of which, 6 episodes in, 6 weeks. We've been about a little over a month. Thumbs up or thumbs down on the idea of the Wednesday Night War? You're straddling the line. Why are you straddling? Isn't that embarrassment of riches type thing?
No. I think it's more of NXT is doing their thing. They're just trying to put on the best NXT show that they can be. And AEW is the one that tongue-in-cheek sometimes kind of pokes fun at, hey, we're in a war with these other guys. And like they'll like, yeah, like, no, I kind of wanted that to be the other way around. NXT should have been the ones that I would have been every so often. You know, these guys. Yeah, whatever. You should watch us. Be like the fucking cocky ones about it. AEW is like, you know, we're just going to put our head down and fucking do the best that we can possibly do. Yeah. And it's, I don't know. There's still a lot of foundation work, groundwork that needs to be done in AEW before they can get cocky and start talking shit about the other guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Can you blame them that they're bragging? This is the 6th week of head-to-head, but by a noticeable margin, AEW's beating NXT in demographic. They're beating in everything.
they're still just the new hotness. Like, mm-hmm. I be the Nationals, don't be the Yankees. You know?
HBR.
God damn, what the hell is that?
Your fucking computer. You don't update your shit during the week.
I know, right?
Playoffs?
Yeah, like they're. I mean, I'm not like saying that I like NXT more than I like AEW right now. I'm with the majority. I would rather watch AEW than NXT, put a gun to my head kind of thing. But you know, it's I'm enjoying both shows. I'm not enjoying the fact that they are trying to be competition for each other, because there's a lot of other stuff that's out there that's, you know, getting pretty good too.
Like
NWA and Impact. They're doing a pretty solid job. Now, have I watched any of their shit? Like I said, the last 3 weeks has been all about baseball.
Like, you know? Just like the chat. Yeah, man. Freaking Hector in the chat wants us to mention Hideo Itami against fucking Tomohiro Ishii, which was a fucking barn burner of a match.
Yeah.
Even though people might be worried that Kenta's going to end up just like fucking Shibata with his brains turning into mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
You know, so that might have been why the thing was quiet. I sure as hell know you're not going to watch this shit on your own. There's so much in your plate already.
Yeah.
And that's before baseball.
Yeah.
You know? So now that baseball's over.
Now that baseball's over, I don't know what to do with myself.
AEW, NXT, Raw, SmackDown, NWA, Impact, Ring of Honor, WOW, New Japan.
And
ROW, Triple Mania is happening.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dragon Lee against Kenny Omega for the mega title.
Shit.
Woo!
That sounds like a damn I don't know. I don't know if I just need a break, or what I did this past 3-4 weeks has been a break, or what, or if I'm just really overwhelmed because there's just too much wrestling out there right now. I don't know. There's something wrong in my wrestling fan soul right now. There's just something wrong.
You mentioned the last time we recorded that you think you crossed the line to the point where you're not going to be watching Raw and SmackDown primarily.
Right.
Have you committed to that?
No. I didn't commit to it because some other people in the house are like, hey, let's turn it on. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm sitting there. All right. I guess I should watch this.
You could be burned out on a Wednesday if you're still watching 3 hours on Monday, 2 hours on Friday, maybe an hour on Saturday for a while. You know, you live with two feminists. Yeah, break them off a little something. You know, you could be burned out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the way it could be. You know, I don't know, man. Maybe I just need to get the baseball out of the way. Maybe that's all it is. You know, the other thing, too, is like, this is something that we didn't get to talk about before the show or at the beginning.
Oh,
of
we
the
waited
show.
To record. Yeah, give it to me.
Yeah. On game 7 of Astros versus Yankees, I watched that at Old Chicago Pizzeria in Katy, Texas, because it was after DZW where I was the ring announcer.
You went. Yeah,
I mean, their ring announcer wasn't able to make it, so they're like, hey, Abel, can you fill in? So I did, and it was weird because I didn't realize how much I missed doing that, and that was the one thing that kind of like, oh, maybe I'm not done with wrestling. Maybe I just want to do like this kind of thing. Maybe I'm done with like fucking watching everything, but being a part of it's a little bit different. And then after the show, we went to, you know, caught the last like 3 innings of the game there with all the, you know, not all, but, you know, few of the other wrestlers and the boys from the locker room and stuff with the game on the TV. And fuck, man, that was awesome. Home run, Altuve hit at the very end. Man, that place went fucking wild, dude. It was
that last game, the Yankee one, right?
Yeah, the Yankee game. Walk-off home run with Altuve, man.
Bases loaded.
Yeah.
That salami was delicious.
No, I think it was. No, it wasn't bases loaded. No. It was a 2-run home run, I believe.
Full count though, right?
Yeah, I think it was a full count. I don't know. He scored 2 runs, but yeah, it was badass. But yeah, Porsche says you don't have to watch everything. You're damn right. I don't have to watch everything.
Yeah, you say that now, but when y'all in the same room,
I don't know. It's like I just I don't know. WWE, it's just been pissing me off so much lately.
Speaking of WWE,
yeah,
we might have another champ.
How so?
New Japan two nights of Wrestle Kingdom. They made it official a couple of days ago. The main event for night two will be the heavyweight champ against the Intercontinental champ. Both titles on the line. Naito and Ibushi, among others. But those two, the heaviest, as far as I can remember, they've been pushing that they wanted, that they've been wanting the Intercontinental to be just as important as the heavyweight, and that at some point they would hold both the titles.
Okay.
So it's down to the final four. You've got Okada with the heavyweight belt defending against Ibushi, who won G1.
Okay.
That's main eventing the first night.
Okay.
And then right beneath it, your favorite, Jay White, your current IC champ, is defending against Tetsuya Naito. Ah, tranquilo, Asenayo.
All right.
And then those two winners are going to face off on the second day to have both the titles. And then both the losers are going to do second place or third place match beneath that.
Yeah. So. Cool.
You ready? I know. I don't know what to ask you because you already burned out. I don't want to add two more days of the weekend.
I mean, you know, it's Wrestle Kingdom. Like, that's must watch, you know, when you're talking
when
about
when you care.
Here. No, yeah.
It's must watch, but you're not up at 3 in the morning. Like
I'm not up at
3
in the morning. No.
You're being breastfed that.
Hi.
During the weekend.
Papa.
Just like you like it.
Hi.
Been over a decade. I think I know. That's why I shave around the edges. Kelly Clarkson. So, but, dude, Wrestle Kingdom, the undercard needs to be filled out a little bit, but the main stuff's looking pretty good.
Cool.
Less than 2 months away.
It is, isn't it? Son of a bitch.
Yeah, we're nearing our end of the year spectacular.
Is Shingo on the card? Or?
Not yet. But like I said, a lot of the undercard still hasn't been fleshed out yet. There's still the World Tag League that just started. And I think there's another event happening in the beginning of December that will finally fill in the rest of those gaps.
Gotcha.
Jericho and Tanahashi, that's been made official for night two. I think we're getting Moxley versus Robinson part three.
Okay.
Which has been fucking solid so far, those two. But yeah, there's a lot more stuff going on. Man, I'll make this easy for you. What's your match of the week?
Cole versus Bryan.
How much of that did you watch?
I think
it
was
30 minutes, bro. That match started like at 8:30.
I think I had at least one eye open for the majority of it. nothing against the match. It's just, dude, I was tired. You know, I was like, okay, oh, that's cool. You know, I was trying to stay awake for it, man. I couldn't. But it was a good match from what I saw.
It was fucking gorgeous, man.
Gorgeous.
The build-up to the promo in the back, you know. Then force-feeding the speculation of, oh, shit, if Bryan wins the title, does he go to NXT?
Yeah.
Same thing with Rollins on Monday, but that was like with 9 minutes to go on the show and you saw how that ended.
Yeah, that wasn't nearly as exciting.
Yeah. Hands down. That's my match of the week pick.
Okay.
The only problem is you didn't watch it completely.
I mean,
you're not as fervorous.
I'm not fervorous.
Yeah.
I'm not
that's
fervorous.
That's why. Because it was good, man. It was quite good.
Cool.
Could have made an argument for something more.
You think so?
Yeah.
You really think so?
Yeah. But
I mean, I ain't gonna make that argument.
Of course not.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my pick. But damn, dude, NXT last night, solid. También Pete Dunne and Damian Priest. This second time felt a lot better than the first time for me.
Okay.
What else happened that damn show? There was a lot.
I didn't watch NXT last night, so I have no idea what happened.
OC invaded, beat the shit out of Undisputed Era backstage.
Really?
The main event was a 6-man tag. Anderson Gallows and AJ Styles for the first time ever in Full Sail. Remember, they went straight to the main roster.
Yeah,
AJ debuted in the Rumble.
Yeah.
Against Ciampa, Keith Lee, and Matt Riddle. The show ended with Undisputed Era coming back.
That's an interesting combination there.
Yeah. The show ended with Undisputed Era getting their comeuppance on OC, then Cole beating up on Gargano. I mean, on Ciampa, and then out comes Finn.
Mm.
And you wonder if he's with the OC because he 1916 Riddle on the ramp. And he does his little gun thing while AJ does the two sweet thing. They're teasing, rumor has it, that they're actually going to have, get this, they're actually going to do another War Games match during Survivor Series weekend.
Okay.
Undisputed Era against the OC with Finn Balor as the fourth. So, there's a lot of that going around.
You know, I would like for them to finally just
bust the nut already.
Bust the nut there. I just have Finn and AJ together in the same group, in the same club, in the same OC.
For the first time.
Yeah, whatever the fuck you want to call it. You know, because their careers are so intertwined without actually touching each other.
Yeah.
You know?
They've never technically been in the same group before. AJ beat Finn out. So they were never on the same. So they were never on the same team, but the fact that they have that history, it's like they're like stepchildren.
Yeah,
you know, they don't want to be a part of the whole family thing. But
Hector, what's up, man? He says, "Oh, what about Ishii versus Kenta?"
You missed it. We just brought it up earlier.
Yeah.
AEW had some solid stuff.
AEW did have some solid stuff.
The tag match with Page and Omega against Jericho and Sammy Guevara.
Yeah.
Dude, for a relatively unknown kid like Sammy Guevara, he's getting some fucking heat.
Yeah.
He's got a lovable, punchable face.
They're giving him time, and he can sell his ass off. Mm-hmm. And
I guess nobody likes pandas.
Yeah, I guess so. and I can't help but smile for the kid. Yeah. You know? So, you know, coming out of Houston, you know, passing through here, going through the rest of the Texas Indies, and then, boom, main event of AEW a couple of times. So, well, I think he was the first match. And this is his first main event, I believe. But still, man, he's getting a lot of fucking time.
I got to admit, man, there's been very few promos that have stuck to me.
Yeah.
Hard times, stuff the roads. Low-key one, Mankind inside the Hell in a Cell promoting that match with Undertaker.
Okay.
When the lights were out. Steve Austin stunning McMahon. This fucking promo with Cody Rhodes, man.
This was a good fucking promo.
Pipe bomb by CM Punk, by the way. I didn't want to gloss that over.
Yeah. Yeah.
But other than that, that's
awesome. Austin 316 says, "I just whooped your ass."
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking Cody, bro. Mm-hmm. Your best seller that you can find on Amazon for $3.
Man, he was roasting Jericho.
From undesirable to undeniable. Fuck, man. That was great. And everything leading up to that where you could tell there was nothing but raw emotion in there, and he was starting to, like, you know, crack, basically. You know, like, oh, dude, that was so good. So good. Good, good promo.
Either that was, like, heartfelt to the core, or he's probably one of the best actors I've ever seen. Because that came across, like, legit.
Yeah.
Man, you couldn't help but feel for it. Of course, motherfucker gonna lose. But the stipulation... You know, that stipulation's homegrown for Cody to lose.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that the opposite. I thought this match for sure Cody's going to win. Because there's no way Cody's never, ever going to challenge for the AEW title.
They can
ever
change that later.
Hey!
Those
but it'd be bullshit.
It'd be
wrestling bullshit.
Those debtors always come back around.
In WWE, man, they're trying to not have the wrestling bullshit. If he says never ever, then it's going to be never ever.
In
WWE, never ever until you get drafted to the other brand. Never ever until you're injured and you're out for 6 months and then you come back and it's like, oopsie, we forgot. Like, no, I think AEW is trying to, like, stick to their guns about continuity. So I think this means Cody's going to win because that kind of stipulation, I can't see Cody never ever challenging for the title again at some point. Like, I get what he said in the promo. Oh, the guy who runs the book is the guy who gets the chant, and I don't want to be that guy. I get it. I understand. But at some point, like, there's a huge difference between being Jeff Jarrett,
Eddie Graham, Jerry Lawler,
Vern
Gagne,
and being somebody where it's like, okay, I have to actually, you know, step in because the main guy went away and we don't have a number one contender and, you know, nobody else is over and fuck, I'm over and all right, I'll do it. You know, like, there's a bit of a difference between that and everyone
else.
You
know why it doesn't bother me if Cody were to lose this match?
Why?
I don't want to be that guy,
but
when I think of the Elite, Cody's not the first name that comes up.
Okay,
so if it's Cody saying, if I lose, I'll never wrestle again, wah. If it was Omega,
fuck me. That'll kill your brand if he loses a match where he can never challenge for that company's title again. Yeah. Because that's the guy that's keeping everything in balance. You know, if Kenny Omega were to go to WWE, as much as I like AEW, they're not long for this world. So Kenny Omega's the catalyst that you surround everything around. He's the low-key John Cena, Roman Reigns, Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin. That's your centerpiece right there.
Yeah.
And they don't want to bust their nut on that centerpiece because, like you said, people are already going to have the stigma of, oh, because he has the book, he's going to give it to himself first. Yeah. And it's been quite the opposite already. You saw the Young Bucks losing the first fucking round of their inaugural tag team tournament.
And see, I believe the Bucks on that promise more than I believed Cody on that promise. Mm-hmm. But again, giving them the benefit of the doubt, I think this means Cody has to win this.
Dude, you know what? The negative that I have that could be turned into like the supreme positive, I still for the life of me don't like MJF the cheerleader. Because he's been such a good fucking heel up to the point that they showed up on TNT. So I'm hoping he's the guy that swerves him. He turns on him, and you don't have to worry about heartbroken over Cody not getting a title shot because he's going to be busy with MJF for a minute. And by then, you're going to forget all about it because there'll be a fresh new face in the scene that you can come over, and then we're off to the races.
Yeah.
So, but if Cody wins it, I'm not going to hate it. This fucking build, dude. And to top it off, on Jericho's side, that video, man.
They're having fun. And you know what? That's furthermore reason why I don't think Jericho needs this belt. Jericho, like, okay, if you look at the way they're building Jericho and the way they're building Cody in this feud, Cody, if he wins this is a serious watershed moment for AEW to be considered serious. They're a threat. Look what they're doing. They got this guy that's white hot over. It's his baby. It's his passion project, and he's running with it. Whereas with Jericho, Jericho's Jericho. He's always going to be over. And you know what? A little bit of the bubbly. I got Virgil in my corner, and I'm the champion. Ha, ha, ha. It's funny. It's over. You're always going to be over. You don't need the belt to be over. But God damn it, if Cody takes the reins of this, whoo! You're starting to really get up there to be taken seriously as a serious threat. So I think it's a little more reason for Cody to win. Now, Hector in the live chat says, if Cody wins, I want Darby to challenge him next.
Oh!
Yes!
Oh, my God. The little engine that could crash into a wall.
Damn! I love me some Darby Allin. I love me some Darby Allin. I don't know where the hell they found this little kid. Loves him. Man. Loves him.
That's the future right there. Darby and MJF are the futures of that brand.
What about Guevara?
I like Guevara a lot, whether he's homegrown or not.
Yeah.
But here's the question. What does he offer that half of that AEW roster doesn't offer?
Okay.
You see how MJF sets himself apart from everyone else.
Yeah.
It's fucking Stevie Wonder could see what Darby Allin separates himself from everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, so what does Sammy have that he brings to the table that nobody else can do that he can claim it as is?
He might be the prettiest pretty boy that they have.
Oh.
Which could be a good heel thing.
Are we the ones who should be talking about that? I mean, the girls are on the chat.
Yeah, okay. Girls, what do you say? But I mean, being a pretty boy in wrestling means that you could be a good heel. I mean, Randy Orton has gotten away with it forever because he was a pretty boy, you know.
He's got that McDonald's sign, over 90 million vaginas. Humberto's getting up there, over 100 mothers love. You know? But yeah.
Dozens and dozens.
So we're at it, man. Full Gear's this Saturday.
Yeah.
Will you be watching Full Gear live? I mean, why did I ask you this? Since you walked in the door, and then I screamed, save it for the show! Spill it!
Porsche said, meh, when it comes to Sammy Guevara. Aw. Anyways, so see, what happened was Sammy Guevara is the Hector Garza of AEW. All right.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, okay. See, what happened was, remember last time when...
All Out?
Yeah, yeah. There was pay-per-view. I had to actually, you know, order it and make sure that you watch it the same day or record it the same day. Otherwise, you got to wait till Tuesday. Well, that sucks. But that means that we made sure that we ordered the pay-per-view. So we're not going somewhere else's place or whatever. We actually ordered the pay-per-view. Porsche actually ordered it so that we can record it that day so that we can watch it the next day. The reason being is because I got a wedding to go to. One of Randy's friends is having a wedding that day.
It's a 72% divorce rate, bro. You just save yourself the trouble and don't go.
Well, it's free food.
Shit, that's okay. Don't brush some hot dogs.
I know, right? That I just had. Now you know all I want is a wiener.
No! Woo!
But, ow! I think the wedding is at like 4, and it'll be over by like 8, but it's all the way in spring, so we'll probably be home in time, but that's just me and Randy. Porsche's like, well...
Y'all ain't watching it without me.
I'm gonna be home, so she's gonna watch it, and she's like, well, since... I'm ordering the show, and last time Foreman ordered the show, and everyone went to Foreman's place, and she did it. She's like, well, fuck it. We'll invite everybody over to our place. So me and Randy won't be home, but Porsche will be with a bunch of people. By the time we get home from the wedding, the show will be half over. It's like, hey, everybody in my house. So I may catch like a main event or the last couple of matches or something. But I really, 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 really want to say that if I had nothing else to do, yes, I'd watch it live. And Randy says, don't throw me under the bus. Too late.
I would give you a lot of shit over it.
But
the fact that AEW has made you purchase not one, but two events this year at full price is very telling. Very telling. Whether it's you or someone in your household.
Okay, that's what I'm about to say. It wasn't me that purchased it.
You go watch the motherfucker.
I'm gonna watch it. Mm. I mean, if it's on the screen, I don't let good food go to waste. I don't let good pay per views go to waste. Like, oh, we accidentally ordered Backdoor Sluts 9. Well, we accidentally ordered it. We may as well watch it. I ain't wasting no money. You know.
It will go get in trouble. Shit, man. I'm splitting it with Scott and Trav. We're watching it live in the moment. And my nephew. My nephew's like, Uncle Chris, are you going to watch Full Gear?
Yeah.
I hesitate because I know what part B to that question is. Uncle Chris, can I go with you? Because, you know, people don't watch all the time, whether it's family or friends. You got to fill them in on all the blanks instead of you just wanting to lay back and just like, enjoy. Be in the moment, you know. But you know, I do what I do, so he's coming. But yeah, man,
I haven't seen him in a long time.
We'll fix that.
Okay.
As you can see, how spacious the new Tetris.
Yeah, he really opened up over there. The space in the room.
So before the year's over, there'll be an event. Well, I'll have y'all over.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I can remember the last time a Raw or SmackDown main roster pay-per-view had me this excited. Every other takeover, you know, we're like, AEW's got me like the fucking Joker. Like, oh, you know?
You want to say that again?
Spoiler alert, my anticipation for this fucker's at a 10. And guess what? I'm not going.
Okay.
So.
Where is it?
Baltimore. There's still tickets, and I'm off that Saturday.
I don't blame you for not going. It's Baltimore.
That tweet from MJF. What fun is there to do in Baltimore? And he replies, nothing. Let's start from the top. Unsanctioned, lights out. We've done this before. They have the main event. Then Justin Roberts goes in the ring and says, this next match is unsanctioned, so we're turning out the lights. When they go back on, we're going to do the match. And that's how we're ending it. Kenny Omega versus John Moxley. First thought that pops into your mind when you think about this match.
Hope it's not too gross.
You're leading that way too, huh?
Yeah.
They're showing these clips of all the old CZW shit that Moxley did,
yeah,
which is leading us to believe that that's what we're getting this Saturday with Omega.
Yeah, and I hope we don't get that. My anticipation level for this match is an 8.
That's still high.
Still high. Because it's Moxley.
That's a set of boobs right there. You turn it sideways.
It's Moxley and Omega. So yeah. Omega, I've been waiting for Omega to be as over and as on fire as he was 2 years ago in New Japan. Mm-hmm. Right? He seemed to have peaked and he's kind of hit this valley, but now he's at a plateau and I'm waiting for him to, you know, in his own company. I'm waiting for him to like really take off. Moxley was red hot 6 months ago, and he got injured, and it was like, he's back now. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, and he's plateaued too. So I'm waiting for both of these guys to kind of really get into full gear. I'm really waiting for both of these guys to take it to the next level. Oh, I had to change that. This match may or may not be there. Because, again, I'm afraid that it's just going to be super gross, super bloody, too over-the-top violent.
Which we've never seen Kenny Omega in a bloody state before.
Right. So
this could
sure.
be out of his element.
Yeah. There could be some awkwardness in the actual match type, too. Mm. I don't know, man. I have apprehensions. But it's still these two. And I'm still really excited to see it. That's why I'm at an 8.
I completely agree with all your apprehensions.
Okay.
I'm not going to sit here and argue any of them.
Okay.
My anticipation level is at a 10.
Okay.
For people that complain that WWE doesn't do long, drawn-out storylines, you got to keep in mind, this started in May.
Yes.
We're in November. We were supposed to get this match in September, and we still didn't get it, and that made the story even more intriguing. The promos back and forth, their code, you know, when Pop jumped Omega from behind and Moxley had the opportunity to wail on him and he refused because he didn't want it that way.
Right.
To the point that we even got Moxley versus Pac. I think they're starting to step their game up a bit for me. And I can understand if they don't do it every week because you're going to get burned out every week. Or eventually someone's going to get hurt. So I'm not expecting them. I'm not expecting Omega Okada every Wednesday and then three Saturday a year.
Yeah.
That motherfucker's not going to last. We already saw Moxley. His arm almost fell off with this damn fucking Mercer that he had again. The story's been intriguing. The buildup has been fun. I'm invested in this. You know, it helps that I was in person for when Moxley actually came out and shit. And then again with the code, just last night when they had the big kerfuffle and Moxley and Omega were ready to throw down, and here comes LAX to beat up on both of them. And then later on, a few minutes later, they're on the ramp and Omega and Moxley, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, they beat the shit out of LAX just to turn back around and start beating the shit out of each other some more. So they, you know, again, another example of how we complain about WWE not going into detail, the little nuggets here and there, the nuance of the story, the minutiae that makes it interesting, that makes it stand out from the competition, and not just WWE competition, MLW, ROH, and Impact, all that. There are so many details in here that you can't help but appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, and even for all the negatives that I agree with you on, I don't know if I want to see Omega go hardcore. I don't know if I want to see Moxley fucking fall on a thumbtack with his bare feet. You know, gross shit. With all that, the anticipation for the match, how badly I want to see it, I'm at a 10.
Cool.
Since it's unsanctioned, and that's another aspect that I like. Moxley pissed that this match isn't going to count on his record because he's that confident that he's going to win, but that's not going to help him.
Oh, unsanctioned matches don't count on the record?
No.
I like that little detail.
Last week, a week ago, before Moxley went in the ring to bitch out Khan and how he was typecast, that like the other company.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
that week before, afterwards, they showed video of Moxley going into Khan's office, bitching out Tony Khan because he was pissed that this match isn't going to be on his record so that he can further get to the title, and that he can, that all that work that he's going to do to kill his golden boy, and they ain't going to get nothing out of it. So another layer into the story pushes it forward, that. So, fuck. I don't know if it's with pay-per-view time or I can't call who's winning this.
Oh, fuck.
I can't. I would, you know what? It's been so good this far. I'd have them do a double knockout or something and keep it going. Nobody loses any steam. Nobody loses any credibility.
Yeah.
It doesn't show up on anybody's record, so it doesn't matter either way. So why not?
You know what?
Why not do a
since
double?
Since it doesn't show up on anybody's record, let's have Moxley win it. That way, Moxley can be full of even more piss and vinegar. I beat his ass, but it's not on the record. And then they'll have like a regular match, and Kenny wins. Hector Reyes, I love the continuity when it comes to unsanctioned matches. I got to add an 8 with him, and I'm not sure who the him is. I got add an 8 with him repeating the same format as the match between Omega and Jericho. Oh, I guess he means Omega from Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, okay. Jericho versus Cody. Give me a number.
10.
We gushed over it already.
Yeah.
So we don't need to go into further detail. I'm also at a 10.
Okay. Who you got winning?
Jericho.
Cody. We talked about this.
Do you think this will go the hour draw? You know the aspect of the judges that they can like rank it? Yeah, I don't
know.
I like the idea of the judges. I was expecting like legit fucking, where's this at? Maryland Athletic Commission. Not like wrestlers that can actually like, oh, I like Jericho, so Jericho's winning by default. Or MJF's a judge. Oh, Cody's my daddy, so I'm going to give Cody the rub.
It's going to be the dude from American Idol.
That's a no for me, dog.
And the other dude from American Idol.
It stinks.
And Travis.
No, sir.
I don't like it.
Let's give the lady some love.
All right.
Emi Sakura. Gets a title shot against Riho. Riho, the champion. Riho, the student. Sakura, the teacher
who just beat her this past week.
If you don't watch anything else this week, Google search, YouTube search, Emi Sakura against Kana. You might not remember what Kana is, but you know what an Asuka is. Emi Sakura against Asuka.
Whew. Okay.
This is going to be a fucking ball buster, bro.
Really?
I'm at a 9.
Really?
Yeah. The only reason I'm not at a 10 is because we haven't had enough interaction between the two.
Enough.
It's in passing that these guys have wrestled and they've maybe teamed once. I think it was Fight for the Fallen. But we haven't really seen them in the same screen until this past Wednesday in that tag. Yeah. When they, out of nowhere, Emmy's getting a shot at Riho. Okay, the chick from Queen with the mustache.
Yeah.
You know, she's cute. I like her. She can go, you know, but I would have wanted a little bit more, you know. But again, sometimes.
You need some more warming up.
Sometimes the teacher versus student's good enough. The student losing to the teacher last week was good. Maybe another week might have helped. But that's just me. I'm still a fucking 9 for this. This might steal the show. I've heard a lot of people complaining that AEW's biggest fault right now is their lack of women's division. I think this is going to steal the fucking show.
Yeah.
Where are you at?
I'm at a 6. I think all the misgivings that you have about this match are basically what I'm focusing more on. For me, it's not enough build. Riho's already beat her before. And yeah, sure, this go-home show, she lost. Okay, fine. But she's already beat her before. Like, the teacher versus student is like when the student is trying and trying, and then finally does it. But here it's like, yeah, I already surpassed her, and then she got one over on me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. And I like Riho. I think I need more out of Riho than to be the cute little 98-pound soaking wet, but she can still wrestle. I need more from her than that. Because I feel like the little with the big heart has been done before.
Yeah.
Whether it's a little guy or a little girl. You know, I mean,
her match with Britt Baker didn't help that well either.
Yeah.
She needs the right heel opponent to work with.
Yeah.
And Emmy, I'm not sure if she's a heel or a face right now. She's just being cheered because she's an established veteran to wrestling fans of the Yoshi style.
Which, that's not me.
And it's not me yet.
Yeah.
As of now.
I mean, I think she got cheered because, oh, she's just like Freddie Mercury. That's cool. Yes. But then she was placed on heel teams. And it's like, okay.
Or against.
Yeah.
Or against
Riho. It's like,
okay. I would have wanted that match. And one more week, I would have had that match of Sakura and Riho as a team.
Yeah.
And Sakura winning to show Riho, look, this is how it's done.
Yeah.
And Riho's like, well, I got the belt. I know how it's done. Just a little bit of friction.
Yeah.
You know, man, that extra week in the oven might have helped.
Yeah, that could be it.
Yeah.
So
about a six, huh?
Yeah, about six.
Who you got winning this?
Riho.
Still?
Yeah.
You riding the Riho train?
Yeah, until somebody more over comes along.
I think that's
You know what? Here's another thing about Sakura. At first, I thought she was, when I first saw the Freddie Mercury thing, I thought she was going to be somebody that cosplayed as different pop culture personalities and not just Freddie Mercury every time. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, she's coming out with, she's Freddie Mercury again.
Prince. Is she going to be Prince?
No, Freddie Mercury again. Okay. Oh, this time. Oh, still Freddie Mercury. Okay, cool. And oh, now like, I don't get it. You know, like, if it was like something different every time, it's like, oh, she likes to cosplay. But now it's like, she's got something.
We already got blue pants on the roster for
she's
that.
She's really got a hard on for Freddie Mercury, and I don't know why. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, it's getting into that weird territory. And I'm a hypocrite. I'm okay with McFly over in NXT.
Nakamura on the main roster.
Well, who's been McFly for fucking years.
Yeah.
You know? Nakamura, that's his own thing. Like, you could say, oh, he's just ripping off Michael Jackson, but no, he's taking inspiration from Michael Jackson. He makes it his own, he changes stuff and this and that. He's not a Michael Jackson cosplayer. Fucking, this Sakura, she's a Freddie Mercury cosplayer who only plays Freddie Mercury. And I'm like, okay, what else you got?
Speaking of the women, somebody that could be the next train, Bea Priestley against Britt Baker one-on-one.
Yeah.
On the undercard. What are you thinking of Bea Priestley?
I like her. The two times that I've seen her, I think she's got a pretty cool aesthetic. I kind of like the gimmick, you know, but I need a little bit more. And that's the thing about AEW.
It's fresh. You really have that problem.
It's fresh, but also it's not right out of the oven fresh. It's like, okay, it's already been sitting on the counter for 30 minutes. Like, okay.
You gotta let it settle, bro.
It's settled. It's already settled. Why do I still not know what the fuck I'm eating? Like, by this time, 6 weeks in to Lucha Underground, we had all the fucking stories set, and now we're building angles. You know? I think with AEW, it's still like, we're still trying to set stuff while trying to put the angle, but the angle isn't set because on the thing. And so they're badass wrestlers, which is cool, but like, why? And like, yeah, I think like Baker, cool. Priestley, all right. They kind of don't like each other. Don't know why, but they're probably going to have a good match. My number, seven.
I'm also at about a seven. Most of that is for Priestley's character.
Okay.
Britt Baker looks like she belongs in a pro wrestling ring when she has B around her to antagonize her, to pick at her.
Yeah.
You know, and I like that dynamic. Just a sidebar. Oh my God. Jamie Hayter.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm at a seven for Priestley versus Baker, and I've got Priestley winning this.
All right.
Damn. Hater.
Hector says this. I got Priestley versus Baker stealing the show. Blood feud to the point that Ospreay and Cole are sending messages between each other on Twitter and checking if they're still cool.
Wait, why? I'm guessing Ospreay's dating Priestley?
I guess.
It's obvious Colin Breaker and Dave. Yeah. They actually, during that AW episode in Pittsburgh where Britt Baker came home, they played a video package and they had a picture of her and Cole together. So it's obvious they're dating. I didn't know about Ospreay and Priestley, but yeah, that steal the show though. The times that I've seen Baker in the ring so far, I think that first tag match at Fight for the Fallen, where she kind of got loopy, got concussed or knocked out. Ever since then, like if I've seen her, she looks like she's a little like she hesitates.
Okay.
You know, like she's going a little slower. Like when you see Tessa Blanchard wrestle, she's laying it in. Yeah. And right now, Britt Baker, man, she's like holding a little bit back. I'm hoping this is the match where I see Britt Baker the way all the other fans of hers see her, because something is missing for her right now, for me.
I kind of want to see Bea Priestley win this, because I think we need to build a heel that's going to be over to take down Riho.
Agreed.
And in a more believable way, to where the story is not going to be little versus big. So I don't want it to be fucking Kong versus Riho and Kong smashing Riho.
Or because, Nyla again, as much as we like Nyla.
Yeah, I mean, because the story is the big versus the little. No, I think, while, yes, yeah, Riho's going to be a lot smaller than Bea Priestley, I think that's going to be more of a competence kind of match.
Yeah.
You know, who's more competent there? And I would rather see that feud. And I think this match could be the stepping stone for Bea.
Would it be overkill if they give Dr. Britt Baker DMD the WWE treatment and have her come out in like fucking scrubs and a face mask?
No.
And that, or, yeah, or
no, don't do that.
No?
No, don't do
I
that.
Agree. Yeah, I wonder what it is. She already has her
little coat that kind of somewhat looks like a lab coat.
Dude, her finisher, the submission, and then she adds the mandible claw to it on that Rings of Saturn.
I like that.
I like that too. I feel like there's something, I don't know what it is, but there's like one side of the Rubik's Cube that's not filled in for me yet.
I'm just hoping
it slides in. Joey Janela against the chairman, Sean Spears. What you think?
Seven? Yeah.
How'd you end up there?
I don't know. I like Sean Spears. Joey Janela is growing on me. They both seem like heels. That's why it's not higher. Because am I supposed to cheer Joey Janela? I am. He's kind of a dick. Kind of a douche. Kind of douche. Dick douche.
I think he's supposed to come across as the bro that Matt Riddle is. You know,
He's just a douche.
A douche you like. I think he's coming around.
He's just a douche.
I think he's coming.
You don't like douches.
I think people are coming around to him because he's always had the stigma of just being a hardcore guy. And people were raving about his hardcore match with Kenny Omega on AW Dark a few weeks ago. So they redid the match as a straight up wrestling match. And a lot of people opened their eyes that hardcore guy, can actually put a match together. Like, he can actually wrestle.
Yeah.
And he's starting to win people over, as opposed to a guy that's trying to lose people because of using that gimmick that's brought him all the popularity he has so far. It's kind of like they're trying to tip the scales.
Okay.
You know, so I can kind of see where the whole Joey Janela thing is coming from.
All right.
That D&D guy that lost to Sean Spears last Wednesday, damn, he made Sean look like a fucking beast. He's for all the shit that he looks like he doesn't belong there physically,
he looks very indie.
Yeah, but he's a workhorse, man.
Yeah.
He sold like a motherfucker. He earned a bonus for that one. I've got Sean winning this. He's another the guys in AEW that you like, you're already predisposed to like them.
Yeah.
So it's easy. So it's going to be harder to turn one of those guys. You need more established heels. And if you're trying to turn MJF into some kind of tweener, then someone has to fill that gap. And Sean Spears with Tully Blanchard could be that.
Yeah.
You know, and we've seen Cody and Sean wrestle. So if your prediction comes true that Cody wins, Cody versus Sean could be a good co-main event, or possibly a main event if the story's told right.
Yeah, because we haven't had that completely 100% settled, the beef between them, right?
Nope.
Because they had a match, but wasn't it something weird about the match?
That was because fucking Sean Spears showed up and busted Cody's dome.
Right, right, right. But then they had a match after that, correct?
They had the match all out. And Cody won.
And that was it?
That was it.
Eh, okay. if you saw the last episode of AEW Dark, Joe got attacked by Spears, making it look like he made Joey eat his cigarette. Okay.
Oh,
a cigarette? That's nasty.
Yeah, that's burns. Rematch.
He's bad too.
Hangman Adam Page against the Bastard Pac.
Eight. Why? Why are they rematching?
Still going, man. They still have some. They still got some stuff to work out between them.
Who won last time?
Pac did.
Hangman Pac won this one. Why not?
I'll tell you why not. Because in singles matches, Pac is still undefeated.
Oh. He needs to get defeated then. He's losing.
And if Hangman. If Cody wins, that's another heel with a record. With the record gives him the title shot. And you can boo Pac, especially if you put him up against Cody. Instant heat for Pac. He doesn't even have to say a word on the microphone. He will be booed out of the country.
You can have a blemish on his record against
him. I'm at an 8, but I want to say a 9. Hangman's been winning me over the last couple of weeks. I remember those first few episodes of Dynamite. He was getting some boos.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think people were just tired of it. Of him, which was weird because I haven't seen enough of Paige to get tired.
Or he just wasn't over enough to be in the position that he was in at the
time. That too. And now the matches that he's been cranking out, I think he's winning the fans over. He's got that old school, like, 80s indie brawler type, you know, crusher. I'm digging him.
I'm not there yet.
I got him losing. I got Pop winning this. I'm at an 8.
Okay. I'm not there yet with Hangman still. I mean, he's all right, but I'm not a fan of his. Like, I know he's good, and he's part of the elite. Okay. what did you think about the botched pin by the ref in last night's Pac match?
I missed it.
Was that botched?
I don't know.
I didn't know if it really was or if it wasn't or if it was just a weird kick out or.
I heard about this. I got home from my night shift at the bank. I got home just in time and cranked on the computer just in time to watch Cody come out for his promo. So okay. I knew about the Trent Beretta versus Pac match. I didn't get to see it. I wanted to see it. That was interested in that match.
Trent
is a single. I know Trent can go. We don't see him in many singles matches, but he can go.
You know what? Actually, we can.
Ooh, frisky. There you go.
I forgot about that match. It was a badass little match.
Yeah. How about the Young Bucks against LAX?
You mean Santana and Ortiz?
Yeah.
Not LAX? Trademark, copyright. Five.
Wow.
I don't care.
Really?
I mean, I like the Bucks a lot. I want to see the Bucks do what the Bucks do.
Santana, I don't think they've ever wrestled.
Yeah, Santana and Ortiz, So, I don't care.
So that's the anchor, huh? Santana and Ortiz are weighing you down?
Yeah. I don't care. I mean, Inner Circle versus Elite, okay, yeah, but this is like a fucking skirmish that probably won't matter in that war, you know? I don't even think it's a main battle. I think it's fucking,
meh. I'm at a 7. The first thing I think of when people tell me about Santana and Ortiz is that fucking rivalry with the Lucha Bros. Those guys can go. And you put them in the ring with the Young Bucks, it's going to be another one of those matches where we're going to be and we might be talking a lot about it post-pay-per-view.
I want to be pleasantly surprised.
I might be pleasantly surprised. That being said, I think I got the Young Bucks winning this round of the skirmish.
Okay.
How about you?
Sure. Bucks have been jobbing a lot lately.
We got one more.
Yeah.
SCU's first tag team title defense in a triple threat. Lucha Bros, Private Party. What you got?
Ten!
Oh, man!
Ten!
We'll round that up to a 20. Yeah. With the both of us combined. What is it? What's doing it for you?
Private Party's doing it for me, man. Yeah. Oh, my God. I want to be invited to that Private Party. Fuck, I love Private Party so much. And I've loved the Lucha Bros for the longest time. And SCU, I'm like, yeah, you know, okay, cool. There, you know, I like Kaz. I like Daniels. The other one, he's cool. A nice addition to them. And now they're, you know, okay, cool. But they're good wrestlers. The match is going to be badass. What's my favorite type of match?
Ladder match.
No.
No, triple threat.
Yes, triple threat. It's a triple threat tag. So it's a little bit of a different animal, but still a triple threat. I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. I want it. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to this match. I don't know who's going to win. I can tell you who I want to win. Private Party. I want the fucking Private Party to win. I don't know if they are, but I'd like for them to.
I see Private Party as one of those teams that need to chase a minute.
Okay, that's fine. Let them chase.
Chase it. I've got...
I'm not invited.
You're square. I got SCU retaining their first defense. But damn, there's a lot of combustible elements in that ring, dude.
Dude, the Lucha Bros won. I wouldn't be upset.
I wouldn't be surprised if the match revolves around the Lucha Bros, if they're the ones that are directing traffic and letting everything go. Private Party, they're the new young toy. They have a charisma all their own. They're not Crime Time. They're not Street Profits. They're not any other black racial gimmick theme that we've seen in wrestling for the past 15, 20 years. They're their own shit. It's unique. I like it. Both the kids got talent, man. They do some shit. Holy fuck.
You know, as I was watching them last night, I was actually thinking this because I think it's hard to not compare Private Party to Street Profits. It's hard to not do that. It's like LOD and Demolition, you know? Yeah. It's like, hey, let me copy your homework. Okay, change it a little bit. Like, even though they may have independently both came up with the gimmick independently of each other, since they're existing in the same fucking time-space continuum, it's kind of hard to... But what I was thinking was this. In ring-wise, scale of 1 to 10, I would probably give, in ring-wise, the Street Profits about an 8. Promo-wise, I would give them about a 10. They're entertaining as fuck. Flip that coin to Private Party. Private Party, promo-wise, they're probably an 8.
7. They haven't had a lot of time.
They haven't had a lot of time, but you know, they could just hype people up. In ring, 10. So it's like if you average those two together, they average to be the same between the Street Profits and Private Party. But I can see where, like, one's better on gimmick and one's better on in-ring, and they're just mirrored. They're mirrored opposites of each other. But I really enjoy both of them. So I'm not gonna not like Demolition because I like LOD. You know, when I was a kid, I had both fucking Hawk and Animal and Axe Smash, and I had all the little monitos for all of them. You know,
got you. I already spoiled it earlier and said what my overall anticipation is for the whole thing. What's your overall anticipation for the whole thing?
The whole McGillicuddy? Mm-hmm. 9. Hold on here. Triple threat tag. God damn it. Hector's over here fucking managing his bets over here. He says the triple threat tag match will be the show stealer. If the women's isn't the show stealer. How you gonna go make bold predictions when you predict everything to be so stupid? God damn it, Hector.
Let's see if he pulls that during Survivor Series weekend when we actually have him on the show. Shit, man.
Porsche wants a Wilhelm scream. All right. Yeah. Enough with the screams. All right. Overall, yeah, 9. What about you? 9. 10? You said 10?
10? 10. And I'm not going, so that says a lot.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a good show, man. I can't wait. On paper, it could be one of the best shows this year overall of wrestling. Over Double or Nothing, over All Out. Probably because they have the advantage of actually being on television and building a lot of this stuff. You know, it's not relying based solely on the credibility of their history of what we've seen them do everywhere else. You know, we love Lucha Bros from Lucha Underground. We love SCU from Ring of Honor. We love Kenny Omega from New Japan. But this is its own universe. It's its own contained story. And they're actually, some of the pieces aren't aligning. Some of the corner pieces are in the middle. But there's still, there's at least some, there's some parts of the puzzle showing.
Yeah.
And the fact that they have that, even that there's parts of the puzzle showing, as opposed to the last couple of events. Hey, we got the box. You ready to empty it? You know, they actually are more, they actually have more momentum here. That's easily one of the best go-home shows in wrestling this year. They brought it, man. They brought it, dude. When people,
you got a ding.
When people on Twitter and Facebook are saying that Cody's promo or the brawl or freaking reflect the ratings, you know, because they have a lot of people that are watching this show every week. They have a consistent base. So I'm hoping that they can actually start reflecting that in the money sign when it counts. You know,
because
it doesn't matter that it's pro wrestling. We've seen a lot of television shows that we love that, because not enough people love them, they're not with us anymore.
Right.
And as good as AEW is, I
don't God damn, that to happened to me three times with Futurama. Why can't you just love them?
Yeah. And I'm hoping they don't do it with Enchantment, Disenchantment either.
Disenchantment is all right.
Come on now.
I mean,
don't hate.
I mean, you know, it's all right.
You don't like Bean?
It's okay. I think I only got like two episodes deep, and I was like,
I'm two episodes deep so far, but I have the whole first two seasons, so I'm chipping away.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll let you know if it's worth it. That's it, man. That's a fucking show.
Do you think AEW Dark and Beam the Elite help AEW Dynamite further progress their storylines? Porsche responded to Hector, saying, most definitely, yet it isn't necessary.
I was about to cut Porsche off. I disagree completely.
Okay.
Well, I agree that Beam the Elite helps. Did you see the Halloween version of Beam the Elite where it was all animated in Toy Story? Kenny Omega robs a bank and fucking Meltzer empties out all the stars.
No.
And then Hangman comes around. So Omega has like Cody's dog that is Slinky, says the force field.
Yeah.
And then fucking Hangman's got, well, I have a dinosaur and his Luchasaurus running. It was fucking gold, dude. I love Beam the Elite because it's original content that's purely promo based for the most part. Or some backstage footage from indie events.
None of that bullshit wrestling in between to muck it all up.
I'm in the firm belief that they don't have enough roster for them to have an additional third hour of wrestling.
Okay.
I would have loved to have seen Joey Janela versus Kenny Omega first on Dynamite instead of giving it away. The Darby Allin triple threat match or whatever.
Darby versus Havoc versus Janela.
That's television that you can put on AEW Dynamite. No, because at some point we're already at the point where we like certain people so much we need to see them every week on the main show.
That's Darby for me, and that's Jungle Express for me.
Exactly.
Which, where's Jungle Express on this fucking pay per view? Are they injured? Is one of them injured? Is Luchasaurus?
There's three of them in there. Luchasaurus is working on something. Yeah, but even then,
so it's the little one and the little one.
There. Yeah, yeah. So. I would hate for this brand to end up like Ring of Honor a year from now, giving us already running into the problem that they're giving us matches that we've already seen. I don't want this to end up like fucking Rey Mysterio and Andrade for 6 weeks in a row. So they don't need a third hour right now. Save what you have so that you actually have matches to fill these episodes in the coming weeks.
Okay.
You know, so I love Beam the Elite. That's, to be honest, I would argue that Beam the Elite is their main show. It's only 20 minutes. They sometimes show. Would you rather watch Raw or Beam the Elite?
Oh, now come on now. I'd rather watch Beam the Elite than Raw.
Exactly.
But if you're talking about Dynamite versus Beam the Elite, Dynamite is the show that fucking counts.
Yeah. But I think AEW Dark right now is too much. Maybe one match. Maybe. But they're blowing their load with a lot of these badass matches that they should be saving for the main show that's on TNT.
Okay.
You know, on another note, since we're talking AEW tonight, I want to like the Dark Order. I've heard good things of the Super Smash Bros. I understand that they can't use that gimmick because of fucking licensing with Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah.
But as and they can go. They yeah. they're competent in the ring.
Even
they,
the big one.
Even the big one. Even Vader's cousin. I think it's weird that I say this because they have a guy that has his hands in his pockets the whole time. They've got two guys that hug each other in the middle of the ring. But I think the Dark Order is the example of what AEW shouldn't be. That's freaking SmackDown second hour. That's the third hour of Raw, the Dark Order, the gimmick.
You think they're too cheesy?
It's not that it's too cheesy. I just don't think that when you have an audience that you're selling of as close to a legit sport with records and that matches matter and that people can be themselves, that people can get themselves over, I don't see that gimmick fitting in this audience.
Is it the putties?
I don't think it's the putties. I need the Lucha Underground video. I need the 1 or 2 minutes to explain what the fuck they are.
With the Jurassic Express. And Jurassic Express are just as fucking weird and cheesy. The guy who thinks he's a dinosaur. We did? We got this?
Being the Elite. Mostly everything is that we've gotten from most of AEW's roster has been from Being the Elite. But not Dark Order. As far as I know, not Dark Order. Like, I just need the explanation. Give me a reason for me to care about these guys in the actual story.
Hector says this about that. What the Dark Order needs to get over is for them to do what they do in PWG. What they do in PWG, Hector?
Don't give me another brand that I need to watch an hour a week. Because that's not happening. That, no. I know about Battle of Los Angeles, but that's it.
Porsche says the chair of putties works for me.
That's residuals from the boys in Dalton Castle, so that's close to you. That's probably why she likes that.
She likes putties. She's a
little freaky like that.
She likes putties.
I bet she does.
She's a Power Ranger freak.
Mm-hmm. No, you, that sentence was too long. She's a freak.
Oh.
Anything else? Or is that a show?
I think that's a show, man.
That's it.
Well, then, adios, my friends. Keep it classy. It's a hard road out of hell, and I've done it to myself. Even God can't save me now. Where do I go? When's the next time we're going to do one of these little shindigs?
In 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
At the HQ.
At the HQ.
For Survivor Series / TakeOver War Games.
Aha. 2 weeks. Yeah. Okay.
I should be in town for that. Yeah, I should be. Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah. I'm leaving next week. I'll be gone next week.
All right.
But the week after, I'll be back.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's the show, guys.
Boom. We'll try to talk Japan next time. Blame him. What?